Fresh manna fell to the ground as a gift from God while the Israelites were in the wilderness. This is what they ate for 40 years. It was fresh from the ovens of heaven, baked by the master baker himself. How the Israelites must have anticipated the taste and the smell of each morning's delivery. Just like the Israelites, you too can now enjoy the taste and smell of fresh manna. Today, you'll be listening to Mike Lambert, pastor of the Holland Seventh-day Adventist Church. And now, here's Pastor Mike.
Our study today is part four to our series that we have entitled Elijah the Tishbite. And this is our opening take. After the third year of the drought that was throughout all the land of Samaria and Israel there, God called Elijah finally to go and find King Ahab. And in doing so, Elijah runs into Obadiah, the governor of Ahab's palace. Here we see two men during the time of drought and famine, during the time of rebellion in Israel, who greatly feared and obeyed the Lord God of Israel, each one playing their part in the service of God. So we see from the narrative that God has his faithful witnesses in all places of the world. In how many places of the world? Yeah, in all places of the world. He will not leave himself without a witness, even in the worst places. And as I think about it this morning, and we read our story for the day, I think that what a horrible place it must have been for a true believer. What kind of a believer? A true believer to be in Ahab's palace and court. If there were no other sinner there besides Jezebel, she was enough to make the place sink and stink of all iniquity. That strong-minded Zidonian queen had Ahab twisted around her fingers just as she pleased. He might not even have been the persecutor that he was if his wife had not stirred him up, as the Bible says. But she hated the worship of Jehovah intensely and convinced Ahab to persecute and kill the faithful prophets of God. Ahab then yielded to her imperious demands, and she could not stand for any contradiction. And when her proud spirit was awakened, she defied all opposition. Yet in that kind of a court setting, in that kind of a household, that very place, there was this chamberlain of the house named Obadiah, who greatly feared God. So listen, God can give his grace to live where you and I would never expect it to. You remember Joseph feared God in the court of Pharaoh. Daniel was a trusted counselor to Nebuchadnezzar. Mordecai waited in the gate of King Ahasuerus. Pilate's wife pleaded for the life of Jesus. And in the first and second centuries, there were saints in the households of the Caesars. So surely there is no place in this world where there is not some light. The darkest caverns of planet Earth, when men traveled to them, find that they place torches even in the darkest places. And I believe God has done the same. Thus, you and I, we do not need to fear or worry about what we see going on in the world today. Sometimes as I look at the news and see things happening, it seems that all hell is breaking loose. But God still sits on the throne. Amen. And you and I may find his followers everywhere, even in the precincts of pandemonium. And here in the palace in our story today, here in the palace of Ahab, you meet an Obadiah who rejoices to hold fellowship with his despised saints, even though the church and state were working against them. And he prepares, check it out, he prepares the resources of the monarch of the land to take care of the persecuted ministers. Praise God, what do you say? Praise God, there are those who know what they believe and courageously stand for the one who reigns over all. Will you please bow your heads as we pray together? Our Father in heaven, what a privilege it is now to consider the sacred scriptures in the midst of our worship. We invite your Holy Spirit, which has inspired this book in the first place, to now open our hearts and our minds. Teach us, Lord, how we can practically live and serve you and others. We pray in the worthy and precious name of Jesus. Amen. So please open your Bibles with me to 1 Kings chapter 18. We're going to the next chapter now. The past few weeks we've been in chapter 17. We wish to go to chapter 18 now and read about the first half of it. Get this story where we see two ways that meet and come together, and we'll see what lessons we can learn. 1 Kings chapter 18. Starting with verse number 1, the Bible says, "And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, Go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria. And Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly, for it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord, that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. And Ahab said unto Obadiah, Go into the land, unto all the fountains of waters and unto all the brooks. Peradventure, we may find grass to save what? To save the horses and the mules alive, that we lose not all the beasts. So what did they do? They divided the land between them to pass throughout it. Ahab went one way by himself. Obadiah went another way by himself. And as Obadiah was in the way, behold, Elijah met him. And he knew him and fell on his face and said, Art thou that my lord Elijah? And he answered him, I am. Go tell thy lord, behold, Elijah is here. And he said, What have I sinned that thou wouldst deliver thy servant into the hand of Ahab to slay me? As the Lord thy God liveth, there is no nation or kingdom whether my lord hath not sent to seek thee. And when they said, He is not here, he took an oath of the kingdom and nation that they found thee not. And now thou sayest, Go tell thy lord, behold, Elijah is here. And it shall come to pass, as soon as I am gone from thee, what's going to happen? The Spirit of the Lord shall carry thee, whether I know not. And so, when I come and tell Ahab, and he cannot find thee, he shall slay me. But I, thy servant, fear the Lord from when? From my youth. Was it not told my lord what I did when Jezebel slew the prophets of the Lord, how I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water? And now thou sayest, Go tell thy lord, behold, Elijah is here, and he shall slay me. And Elijah said, As the Lord of hosts liveth, and before whom I stand, I will surely show myself unto him today. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said to him, Art thou he that troubleth Israel? And Elijah's answer was, I have not troubled Israel, but who? Yeah, you and your father's house, in that you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. So the setting of our story today describes two different ways. There is the way of Ahab and Jezebel, and there is the way of Elijah and Obadiah. The way of Ahab and Jezebel, in a nutshell, I would like to suggest, is the way of church and state coming together and enforcing what kind of worship? A false worship. Now, why do I say church and state? Well, Ahab is the king of Israel. He is the head of, he was the political leader. He is the head of the state. Jezebel, where'd she come from? She came from the land of Zidon. Her father, his name was Ethbaal. He was the king of the Zidonians. He was also high priest in the worship of Baal. And Ethbaal, which has the meaning, by the way, that Baal shall stand and conquer and have victory, named his daughter Jezebel, which means Baal is prince and shall be lifted up. And so he led out, not only king, he led out in the worship of Baal, this false worship, taught his daughter to do the same. And when Ahab, the head of the state, linked up with Jezebel, who had learned false worship, when the two met together, what happened? The Bible said that they did worse than all the kings before them. And false worship was established in the land of God's people. And not only established, but then the true and faithful prophets and spiritual leaders of the church in those days were persecuted and their lives were brought to an end. That's why at that time, you read further on in the story that, well, actually a little bit before, that the true and faithful priests that were in the northern area, they left the northern area and went down to Jerusalem in the land of Judah to help lead out in the true worship of God. And Obadiah, he is left there. Elijah is left there in the midst of open rebellion. And so you have two ways at a crucial point in Israel's history. You have Ahab and Jezebel, church and state combining, enforcing false worship. And then on the other side, you have Elijah and Obadiah, who in a nutshell simply stood for the true worship of God and led out in revival and reformation for the people of Israel. And from a practical standpoint, what do the two ways look like in this story? From a practical standpoint, what do the two ways look like? You know what it looks like? In Ahab, his way, what is he doing? He is looking for grass to feed his donkeys. That's one way. On the other side, you have Elijah, who is looking for the king to save the people. Now, which side is God's way? There couldn't have been a more stark contrast in the Bible when describing the two ways, the ways of God and the ways of the devil and his followers. One way is concerned and is focused in on earthly resources and stuff. The other way is sold out on the principles and standards of God's kingdom, and people who walk that way are willing to give their lives for the truths of God. And so on a hot day outside of the city of Samaria, the two different ways come to a fork in the road and they meet. The first meeting was between Elijah and Obadiah. The Bible says, as Obadiah was in the way, behold, Elijah did what? Elijah met him. And what an encounter that was. Obadiah sees Elijah, and evidently he recognized the prophet. And what does Obadiah do? He falls down on his knees and said, "Is it you? Is it really you, Elijah, the man of God?" And Elijah said, "I am he." And then what did Elijah tell Obadiah to do? "Now you go back to the king and you tell him I'm here and bring him to me." And Obadiah, what was Obadiah's response? Did he leave right away and say, "Okay, no problem"? No. Obadiah was like, "What have I done that you would cause me to be slain?" It's like Elijah's probably wondering, "Well, what are you talking about?" Yeah, King Ahab and Queen Jezebel, they have been looking for you all through the land, not only through our land, but the nations surrounding us. They even made these leaders of the other nations sign an affidavit saying that you are not in their land, that they have not found you. And so the Lord seems to just kind of take care of you no matter where you are. If something happens in that area, God moves you over here. And was that true? Yes. He said, "Now I'm going to go to King Ahab and tell him, hey, he's right over there, just a quarter mile down the trail. And he's going to come, and then the Lord's going to take you somewhere else. And the king's not going to think that that's very funny. And I'm going to lose my head." And what did Elijah tell the servant Obadiah? "Yeah, as the Lord God liveth and before whom I stand." In other words, Elijah, the prophet of God, is giving an oath under God's name saying, "I am going to be here. You go get the king." And so he goes and gets the king. And the rest of the story we will cover next week. I want to bring just some thoughts from this part of the story and see if we can maybe apply them in our own lives today. Because remember, we want to be Elijahs of the end of time. I'm going to suggest we also want to be Obadiahs of the end of time. Just as last week, we talked about the widow of Zarephath. There were some principles that she lived up to that we want to live up to today. So let's take a look at Elijah's meeting here with Obadiah. The first thing that we notice is that Obadiah possessed early piety. I'll put it that way. What did he possess? Yeah, early piety. He said to Elijah, "I, your servant, fear the Lord from when?" Yeah, from my youth. You know, I was taught of the Lord since my childhood. You look up this word youth in the Hebrew language. It's not talking about a mature teenager, a young adult. It's talking about a child. And so he says to Elijah, "I, your servant, fear the Lord from my youth. And happy are the ones who are in such a case." How many of you here today gave your heart to God when you were young? Raise your hand. Look at that. That's about half of us. Praise God. Now, praise God that we're all of us here today have given our hearts to the Lord and serve Him. But what a blessing it is when you give your heart to Jesus when you're a child. And so we see that Obadiah, he serves the Lord from his youth. We do not in the story see how he came to serve and fear the Lord. That is not mentioned in the text. The text does not mention who instructed him in the ways of the Lord. It just says he's telling Elijah, I have served the Lord from my youth. Yet, I believe we may reasonably conclude that Obadiah had believing parents. What do you think? I believe so. One of the things in the story that we see, even though it doesn't talk about his mom and dad, we see that his name is Obadiah. And do you know what his name means? In the Hebrew language, his name means servant of Jehovah. And so mom and dad named him Obadiah, servant of Jehovah. And I should think that that indicated that his parents believed and trusted in God. And that was something in those days. In the days when Obadiah was born and grew up, there was persecution everywhere in the land against the faithful ones of God. And the name of Jehovah was held in contempt. There were calves of Bethel and images of Baal set up everywhere. Thus, I do not think that unbelieving parents would have given their child the name Servant of Jehovah in a setting like that if they themselves did not reverence God. In a time when names meant something, they would have called him the child of Baal or the servant of Ashtoreth or some other popular name expressing reverence to the most hip gods of the day if they had not feared God beforehand. The selection of such a name clearly states their earnest desire that their boy might grow up to serve and obey Jehovah and never bow his knee before the abhorred idols made by man. So whether this was so or not, we do not know, but it is quite certain that thousands and probably millions of faithful and intelligent believers owe their first bent towards godliness to the sweet associations of the home circle. Every home should be like a little heaven on earth to go to heaven in. Such ones that are raised in homes like that are dedicated and consecrated to God and His service before they even know that there is a God. They are nursed in the atmosphere of devotion and taught and entreated while they were yet young to seek Jesus and to give their hearts to Him. Oh, what we owe. Amen. Oh, what we owe, many of us, to the providence of God, which gave us such a happy parentage. Blessings be to God for His great mercy in giving to us our fathers and mothers who have feared the Lord God Jehovah. But of course, there are those who do not have such parents. And maybe Obadiah didn't. I believe he did, but the story does not make that clear. Maybe he became a believer in those sad days because of a pious neighbor or a kind and godly teacher. Can you see it? I believe I can. Can you see children sitting in a classroom similar to the schools of the prophets, but for young children, where some holy teacher gathered the children around her to tell them the stories of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph, talking of the wonderful story of the promised and coming Messiah, and instilled the law of the Lord into their active and receptive minds before the priests of Baal could poison them with their falsehoods. Could you see that happening back in those days? I can see it. We know that there were the schools of the prophets. Praise God for pious teachers and comfortable schools where our children can learn to know God, to serve Him and mankind. So if I might add, go on, dear and faithful teacher, since you are called to the sacred ministry of the instruction of our young ones, do not grow weary of it. I've been around long enough to know that our teachers put in, and our principals and our assistants put in, all kinds of hours in the instruction of our kids. Go on, teachers. Though you may be unknown, your lessons sown in the quiet and privacy of the classroom will produce light that will bless the world tomorrow and in the future. You may be teaching an Elijah or an Obadiah whose name shall be known in future years. You may be providing an evangelist for the world or a leader and shepherd for the church. Though your name may be forgotten, your work will not. And when on that illustrious day, when Jesus comes again and the eastern sky is split wide open, what you have spoken in the classroom shall be declared before the entire inhabited universe. Praise God. And for Obadiah, if that was not the way that he became to know and serve God, God has a thousand ways of which we know what? Nothing, in which he can provide and show us his mercy and grace that reaches the heart and converts the soul. Thus, this Obadiah, kneels before Elijah and he simply says, I have feared the Lord from my youth. And because of that, he did great things for God in the midst of troublesome times. Obadiah's youthful piety leads to another thought, which we go to, and that is this. His youthful piety leads on to persevering piety. What kind of piety? Persevering piety. Obadiah could say, I, your servant, have feared the Lord from my youth. In other words, time had not changed him. Whatever his age was at this point in the story, his spiritual life and his walk with God had not stumbled or decayed. Obadiah was not afflicted in a negative way by the lapse of time. He was found to be, when he was older, what he was when he was young. Nor was Obadiah carried away by the life, the culture, the ways, and the fashions of the pop society of Ahab and Jezebel. In those days, to be a servant of Jehovah was to be out of sync and old-fashioned. The modern thought of the hour, and most of the people in all the king's court walked after the ways and the gods of Zidon. But Obadiah said, I fear the Lord from my youth. Blessed is the man who cares nothing for the ways and fashions of the world. These things come and go, and then come back again, and then what? Go again, and eventually pass away. Obadiah's spiritual walk was not like that. He was not hindered by these things. He kept his focus on God and the principles and standards of his kingdom to the very end, even at the cost and risk of his life. And this leads to our last thought of our study today, and that is, Obadiah's piety was very practical. So he was a pious young man from his youth, from his childhood up. He persevered in that. The times and the ways of society did not change him. And then that laid a foundation for his piety, for his spiritual walk to be, I'm going to say, not just practical, but very practical. How is that so? When King Jezebel was persecuting and killing the prophets of God, what did Obadiah do? Yeah, he hid them away from her. The Bible says 100 of them were bivvied in two caves, 50 apiece. This man's courage, this man's hospitality, this man's generosity were on a grand scale. His spiritual life was very practical. He fed them, these prophets, with the best that he could find, which sometimes we might say, yeah, but it was only bread and water. Well, you know what? This is after 3 years of famine. What did the land and what did the crops and the animals, what did it all look like? Not anything good. So he gave what he was able to give. He risked his life for them by hiding them away from the searching eye of a rebellious queen. I do not know how many servants of the Lord those of us in church today have supported. Let's try to make it a little bit practical. How many servants of the Lord, how many teachers, preachers, evangelists, missionaries have we supported in this church? I don't know how many have been supported by those of us in church today or those of you watching our program live stream or at a later time. How many servants have you supported? I'm sure, as I think of my life, and probably this church, I'm sure that we have not supported or met anyone who supported 100 spiritual leaders. I wonder how many of us in difficult times would place our lives in danger for one of the Lord's servants. Bible prophecy tells us that certainly challenging times are in front of us more than what we see now. Times will come between now and the second coming and the end of time where God will use his faithful people. Do you want to be part of that group? Yes. That God will use his faithful people to help and care for his faithful people. God is calling for all believers to have the piety and the faith to be a practical thing. And by his grace, it will be so with you and I. You know what I believe? I believe that the Lord today has his Elijahs and Obadiahs. He has his Josephs who stand for the right and for purity. He has his Daniels who openly live their faith so that all can see in the face of pompous and evil legislation. The Lord has, and I know not where, but I believe it, some little Luther upon his mother's knee, some young Calvin learning in the Sabbath school class, some youthful Zwingli singing the hymns in the church choir. This old world waxes old and will get worse and worse. For many of the signs of the times look that way, don't they? But God knows all of this and is prepared for it. God's cause is safe in his own hands. His work will not halt or lack because of the rebellion in the world or rebellion in the church. So let us not put forth the hand of Uzzah to steady the ark of the Lord. it will go on safely in God's predestined way. Christ will not fail. Christ will not get discouraged. Christ, in the book of Revelation, is seen as the one riding forth to conquer and to conquer. And you remember from a few weeks ago, what did that mean? He goes forth to conquer and will continue to conquer until there's absolutely nothing left to conquer. That's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God is in control. And God may have to bury his faithful workmen and his faithful work women, but his work lives on, and they will rise again. If there is not a palace on earth where a king honors God, and I think that that's probably the case, there shall yet be found there a governor who fears the Lord from his youth up, who shall take care of the Lord's prophets and hide them away till better days shall come. Wherefore, saints of God, faithful of the Most High, church here in Holland, Michigan, be of good cheer. We can look for happier days. Nothing of real value is in jeopardy while God sits on the throne. The Lord's faithful and obedient reserves are coming up, and they will gain the victory. And may each one of us be of those who have gone before and who know in whom they have believed. May each one of us here today in the church be an active part in what God is yet to do. Our Father in heaven, oh Lord, we're so grateful for the privilege we've had to worship you this day and to consider your word. And Lord, today as we stand here with our heads bowed, we know in whom we have believed. And we ask that you would continue to fill us with your Spirit and lead and guide us according to your ways and your commands. And Lord, if there's anyone here who has not made this commitment, oh Lord, I pray that you would work upon their hearts, help them to know and understand of your love and the desire of your heart and the many blessings you have for them. Keep us in your ways and not the ways of this world. We ask in the name of Jesus, and let all the church say, Amen.
You've been listening to Mike Lambert, pastor of the Holland Seventh-day Adventist Church. If you enjoyed this sermon, why not visit his church this coming Sabbath or a church near you listed on strongtowerradio.org. You will find the Holland Seventh-day Adventist Church at 11279 East Audagon Street in Holland, Michigan, and their worship service begins at 10:50 a.m. This has been a Strong Tower Radio production.